Welcome, everyone, to the first episode of Laughs Uncut. This is where we're going to showcase the full sets from your favorite Laughs comedians for your uninterrupted enjoyment. I'm your host, Zoltan Cassis. You may recognize my smooth yet nasally voice from your favorite episodes of Laughs on Fox, like this.
I have a cat named Jessica. She has a weight problem. She's overweight. Which sucks when you have an overweight animal, because when people come over, no one blames the animal. They look at you and they go, "What the hell did you do to this thing?"
Oh, my lovely kitty cat, Jessica. You can check out pictures of her on my Instagram at Zoltan Comedy. So go take a gander at my plus-size feline. Every week, our fans tell us how much they love our comedians, but they wish they could see more of them. Well, you can't. But you can hear more of them on this podcast. That's how this is going to work. You see, each week we're going to bring you the full, uninterrupted, uncensored sets from four of your favorite comedians from Fox hit stand-up comedy show Laughs. That's a hell of a deal. All you have to do is sit back, put your earbuds in, and keep driving to work. Or keep exercising. Or how about you put your pants back on? This isn't that kind of show. Now we're heading out east to the Laugh Boston Comedy Club to hang with one of the city's best young comedians, Mike Whitman. Roll the tape.
All right. Couldn't wait to get out here. Check your text. Feeling good. Half of you applauded. Fills me up. Yeah, half of you are like, "We're at a VFW." That's the exact applause you hear at a VFW when someone's like, "Okay, keep it going for Carol. She put up all the streamers." And you're like, "Who gives a rat's ass about Carol?" I love that. Seriously. That's what I go for. The mediocre, warm, fake laughs that you hear at a convenience store when you actually have exact change for once. You know, you're like, $7.53. I never have the 3 cents. And the lady behind the counter is like, "This is exactly what you're getting." And it's filling my soul. And it needs to be felt. Yeah, I mean, it was a lazy day today. You ever have one of those like, "I'm lazy, but this is getting out of control"? You know, like you're waking up from your second nap, it's getting dark out, and you're like, "Man, I should throw a load of laundry in, you know, just to get something on the docket." You guys get what I'm saying? Just, I like that one clap. That's what I need, you know, like, again. And I look confused, because I am confused. I'm on many pills. Here's a little motto I live by, and I suggest you take it. If you ever see a loose, random prescription pill on the ground, take it. Don't wait around and figure, "Oh, what does this do? I'm gonna go." No, take it. Someone else will grab that thing. While we're at it, has anyone ever used Tylenol PM as directed? No. You're never like, "I need something for the aches, pains, and occasional sleeplessness." You're like, "I'm done with this Tuesday." All right, we're getting there. I feel it. Sometimes, this is a rule apparently everyone else has known forever and I had no idea it existed until the other day. I guess when you're staring into your neighbor's house at night, your lights are supposed to be off. Did you guys know that? It was just me staring, pantless. You guys ever try to guess how many DUIs that guy has? Who rides his bike to work? That hit home to a lot of people. That's fine. I like when we drive home, we don't know if we're good or not, and we're nervous, and we see a cop has pulled someone else over. Don't you want to just yell out the window, be like, "Thanks for taking one for the team, buddy"? There's a lot of drunks. Unfold your arms. All right, perfect. You don't need to check your text for the 18th time. It hurts. Cell phones are a great indicator whether you reached adulthood or not. Seriously, you're still a kid if you look at your phone and go, 50 missed calls. Look who's Mr. Popular. You're an adult if you look down at the same cell phone and you're like, 50 missed calls. Shoot. I screwed the pooch real hard. I do not know 15 people. It's just one person getting angrier and angrier and angrier. Being an adult sucks so bad in so many ways, doesn't it? Like, a knock at the door as a kid, someone wanted to play with you. Now isn't a knock at the door absolutely horrifically terrifying? Right? You're just sitting there, you just... Oh my God, the Nazis are back. Everyone, to the attic, please. Yeah, you're never opening the door for a compliment. It's ever like, your pajamas in the 3 p.m. sun look marvelous. It's always like, get your car off my lawn. And you're like, you try to start it. You know, that back and forth, that never goes. You know what I'm saying? You're never like, it's never like the weird old days where someone's like, can I borrow a cup of sugar? Which nobody would know what to do. I'd be like, what is this freak up to? Like, how does this even work? You know, like, do you have the cup? Did you bring it with you physically? Like, do I have the cup? Is this a cocaine reference? That is a lot of cocaine. No, seriously, being an adult sucks so hard. Like, and you start to realize it with clues. Like, for example, as a kid, and I call 19 to 18. I know I went in reverse, but that's fine. when you buy a scratch ticket, you have thoughts of like, I'm gonna buy a scratch ticket. If I win, I'm gonna buy a Lamborghini and a house with three pools. What are we doing? What are we saying when we buy a scratch ticket when we're in our 30s? Aren't you really like, get me out of my life. Anything above 10,000 gets me across state lines. Isn't that bad? It's real bad. You gotta look out for clues when you're doing bad. You know what I'm saying? Not doing too well? That's fine. You ever, like, here's the thing. When you're not doing too well, like, I was in the other day, I was in the parking lot at Home Depot, just staring at those sheds. It was pouring rain, just pouring. I was just, you know, like when you're just randomly like, you have no thoughts in your head, that magical time where nothing's going through your head. And I'm waiting for my lady. I sent her in there with, you know, to get about 22 2x4s. I'm just sitting there waiting for her. And I have this thought, like, that nice shed, I'm like, I could hold up there for 2-3 years. If you have a negative thought, as long as you know that's a negative thought, you're good. Get my drift? Like, after I thought that, I was like, shit, that's really depressing. All right, you didn't like that one. People are like, that cuts a little close, buddy. I'm just saying, like, the depression questionnaire stuff should be a little different than they have it. They're like, how many times are you pissed a week? 3 to 5? 6? You know what I'm saying? Like, it shouldn't be that. It should be like, how many Big Macs do you throw down your throat a week? 2 to 3? 3 to 8? You know what I'm saying? Or go to the ER. You know what I'm saying? There's certain levels of doing bad and being poor. I associate them. Like, if you walk through Macy's and nobody gets you or tries to get you to buy something, you're doing super bad. You know what I'm saying? Super bad. If you look like the late night movie attendant going through Macy's and nobody like sells you perfume or what, they look terrible. They're not good. You get my drift. They're not. They look, you think a rule at Macy's is like, if you work there, like every 13 minutes, apply something else you're trying to sell. And they look like they have an open casket at a wake, don't they? Too much? Fair enough. Again, we're just gonna take the good parts. This is the best thing I've ever done. We're just gonna take the good parts. Ha ha, all right. It's just like life. I love one clap. Whoever's getting me, wonderful. I love how there's one person like, this dude is the shit. And we were told there wasn't gonna be another comedian. We have this. I'm gonna mow my lawn tomorrow. Don't applause break, I don't have time for it. I'm gonna mow my lawn. That's how, I'm gonna get shit done tomorrow. You know, like, tomorrow's gonna be the last mow of the season. Right? I have that feeling. You know, everybody's into life hacks right now. You know what a good life hack is? You don't want to mow your lawn? Don't. leave it for 4 to 8 weeks. And then the neighbor who's trying to sell something, his house, will come up to you and go, can I mow your lawn? You literally switch it. You know, I'm the opposite of Tony Robbins. You know how he's like, you want it? Get after it. No, aim lower. That's my advice to young people. You want to be a doctor? Be a physical therapist. Shoot for that. Don't go for the stars. You'll fail. You guys get my drift. I'm up here cruising for chicks, to be honest with you. I am. I like, that's not the laugh I was going for, but I am. Here's the deal. In the dating process, and let's say for this joke, I date a lot. In the dating process, I find females, women, are, I'm not sexist, but you get my drift. People didn't know how to laugh at that, that's fine. But women, I'm telling you, they're very upset because they feel like we're only into looks and it's not right because we never get to know them. You get my drift? But we, as men, have to deal with other stuff that's not fair. Like, we have to, like, you know, like, qualify or, like, be similar to those guys, the leading men in those smutty novels you're allowed to read. You know, the jacked firefighter shirtless on the cover. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not that guy, but a common paragraph would be like, he embraced her from behind with his 6'4" thick, burly arm frame. She immediately felt helpless and comforted at the same time. She smelled, what was that, the fire he was just fighting? That was smoke. That was, oh, her knees quaked with anticipation as her reeler in closer to that tan, chiseled chest. She could clearly hear and feel his slow, steady heartbeat, instantly making her inner thighs quiver. Quiver. No one knows what quiver means. Matter of fact, if I was staring at a chick in a bar at 3 a.m. and quivering, I'd be arrested. My point is you're never talking about me in those novels. It's never like he embraced her from behind with his 5'7.5" awkward, drunken frame. He was clearly using her as an anchor at this point. Swaying to and forth in the wind, huffing and puffing out of breath because he took a cell phone call while going up a flight of stairs. He knew better than that. As he tried to reel her in even closer to that milky January chest, she smelled, what was that, Arby's? No, it was McDonald's fish filet, 2 for 1. Even closer still, she could hear his irregular heartbeat, pitter-pattering out of control. She thought to herself, did she know CPR? Was it worth it? She could hear and feel his thin deer-like ankles quivering. My name is Mike Whitman. Bye, guys.
Mike gets adulthood, man. I'm due for another nap and a load of laundry after this episode, too. It's a real productive day, guys. Real productive. Make sure you keep up with Mike on Twitter at Mike Roy Whitman. That's MikeRoyWhitman. Go follow him. Do the right thing. And up next, we're going to find out what happens when you like rap music and food with Bree Pruitt at Harvey's Comedy Club in Portland, Oregon.
Yes. You guys can see me. I am what they call a BBW. Does everyone know what that expression means? Okay, just a few people who hook up on the internet. Good for you. For the rest of you, BBW is an acronym. Stands for Big Beautiful Woman, something we came up with because we were having a real branding problem. You know what I'm saying? So we got in the lab, came up with BBW. I think it's an okay acronym. I personally prefer to identify as a plus size hottie, a PSH, a psh, if you will, rolls off the tongue and does it ever. Okay. This is just what, I'm just a larger, I've got that, you know, pear shape because I've got a big old caboose, which is fine. That's why my train's so slow. I've got a big old butt. My butt is not supposed to be this big. Something happened, I'm white and Korean. Something happened. I just think if you eat enough food and listen to enough hip-hop music, your body's like, I don't know, stack it out back. I don't know. But it's a good time to have a big butt, right? Big, we're celebrating big asses. It's this grand Kardashian age right now. And that's great. Butts used to be different. In the 80s, butts were very like flat and square. It was very new wave butt time. Like I was watching that movie Grease. You guys seen that movie Grease lately? Yeah, it's not a very feminist movie. She kind of changes everything about herself to like get her man. And like in the last scene, she's like poured her body into this like sausage casing. It's like black sausage casing, like not a healthy looking sausage. But she's like just poured in there. And I remember watching that when I was a kid thinking like, how could I ever get my body into that shape? Like how was I ever gonna get a gay man to love me? You know what I mean? Spoiler alert on John Travolta, I guess. That movie. This is never gonna make TV. Okay. So yeah. You gotta celebrate. You celebrate your big butt, like whatever. You just gotta be good with yourself. Like I'm 32 years old. A lot of people think I want kids, but I'm not trying to have it. People think I want kids because I'm very chubby and loving, and I usually have cookies in my purse. But I'm not trying to have kids. People think I already have kids because of this hip to waist ratio. I don't know if you can see that. That's where a toddler's supposed to be all the time. I should live my life with a baby on my hip. Like if children could Airbnb, I'd be all set, right? $25 a night comes with juice. I'd be rich. But I choose to live unfettered. I don't want a baby. People think I'm, yeah, babies love me. Kids are obsessed with me. Kids will like look at me in the eyes of the grocery store, right? You ever have kids get obsessed with you? And then you gotta play that game of trying to make that baby laugh before the parent asks you to leave that grocery store. It's not cool. Or like kids at farmers markets or in an airport will just grab a hold of my skirt, just follow me out like, hey, you look like my aunt. That's a pretty big purse. You got any cookies in there? And I'm like, yeah, but they're for me. Get out of here. You gotta shake those kids loose before you get your stink on them and the mother rejects them and you gotta raise them. It's a bird joke, that's about imprinting. No, it's a real problem. They don't make birth control for children that are already alive. It's the worst. I don't mean like a BB gun or something. I mean like a Bear Bell repellent, something to let them know that I'm like not a safe bet, right? Like ding, 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 ding. Run! She doesn't know what a 401k is! She smoked pot before she ate breakfast this morning! Run! And I'll go under the fridge, right? I don't know, sometimes I think I could handle kids. Like, my sister had a kid, which takes the pressure off, right? She's really chill about it, too. We went to the, out to lunch. She had her baby strapped to her chest in a Bjorn. She was, like, eating chicken enchiladas over her baby. She's like dripping mole and shit all over her baby. I'm like, hey sis, you got frijoles on your infant or whatever. And she's like, it's chill, I'll just wipe it off. And I was like, oh, maybe I could be a parent. That sounds... Like, I think it's like a cell phone, like you can mess it up, you just can't submerge it, you know? Like... You can drop it 3 or 4 times before anything major's gonna go down, you know? And if you hate it, you know, check your contract. You can get a new one every 2 years, right? People who laugh at that one hate their kids. It's hilarious. Just a little bit of hate. I'm in a relationship now, which is great. I did a lot of dating online. And, you know, whenever you're dating online, you never know what you're going to end up with. So I'll tell you guys this story. One time I brought a boy home and I was taking off his pants for sex, not like a prank. I don't know if what you guys, so we're all on the same page. The pants were coming off and because of the angle of the bed or whatever, the contents of dude's pockets start emptying out all over my bed. And what was in his pockets? Change, but you guys, it was like a pound of change. It was way too much change. And it wasn't classy change, like quarters. It was nickels and pennies, which is suspicious. Why has this guy got so much small change in his pockets? Is he making a lot of wishes, right? It's all over my bed. You just treat my bed like a swear jar. I don't want to stop, right? We're right in the middle of something, so we're just rolling around on top of this pile of change like some poverty version of Indecent Proposal. Or like a pornographic version of the opening credits of DuckTales. It was gross. Change everywhere. Things are getting sweaty, right? Change is clinging to our bodies like coppery scales. Like we're some sort of garbage mermaids. It was, or like graduate art school students like, okay, we're gonna cover our bodies in currency to represent like capitalism and greed and oppression. And fluoride and Russia, and vaccines. So we're gonna cover our bodies in currency, but our budget is $3.95. So this is the best. Do. Fun thing about it though is like I had not seen this particular gentleman's goodies yet. So I like opened his pants, saw the goods for the first time. The good one. It was right what I was looking for. Right on the money. Hey! So the change is pouring out all over the place. And I see this guy's unit. And I think, jackpot. And then I hear, right? Ding, 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 ding. That's me raking in all that dick. I love thin people. Thank you guys so much. I am Bree Pruitt. Have a great night.
I love Bree. She's hilarious. Make sure you check out more of Bree at her website, BreePruitt.com. That's spelled BreePruett. You can also find her on Twitter at Bree Pruitt and on more episodes of Laughs, which you can watch on Hulu or at LaughsTVShow.com. Let's head to the world-famous Brad Garrett's Comedy Club in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, and see what KT Tatara is talking about.
Hi. What's up, everybody? How you guys doing? Good? Woo, all right. My name's KT, and I'm a man living with pretty cheekbones. So there it is. Take it in. Hello. Hi. I wish I had a manlier face, you know? I get so jealous of those dudes. You ever see those guys, that real strong brow ridge? That real Cro-Magnon man, you know, that real deep-set eye? They're just walking around, oh. I feel like they're just thinking all the time, oh, I never need sunglasses. It's always shady in my eye. Yeah, oh, it's raining. I had no idea. My eye is fully protected. All right. Not me, man. I got that flat Asian face. Like, look at it. I can see my eyebrow and my hairline right now. Like, you shouldn't be able to see straight up. I got low T or something. I don't know what happened. So I came out so pretty because I'm mixed. I'm half Japanese, half white. But my dad's Japanese, my mom's white. What? That's backwards, right? That's not how it's supposed to be. You ever see an Asian white couple? What is it? Little Asian mom, pervy, creepy white dad. That's the way it's supposed to be. It is known, right? I always get so creeped out when I see that couple, right? It's like a tall white dude. He's always like in shorts no matter what the weather. He's gripping the Asian girl real tight. Yeah, you wish you had this. Look at that. Yeah, you wish you had this. I'm like, ooh. I feel like it looks like he stole the girl, right? Like, do you know him? Are you okay? Do you need help? Not me, man. I'm backwards, right? My Asian dad got a white girl in the 70s. Whoa, right? Asian dude got a white girl in the 70s? Only him and Bruce Lee did that. That's pretty crazy. Thank you, a couple people against racism. Everyone else is like, how did he do that? Wasn't it illegal? I like being mixed, man. It's cool. People think you're confused. No, I'm not confused. Everybody else is confused. No one knows how to categorize you. They're like, ooh, are you more Asian? Or are you more white? Or do you eat hamburgers with chopsticks? How's it work? I don't understand. You know, it's really strange. Like, white people always want me to be more Asian, which I think is backwards. I always thought to be Asian people want me to rep the Asian side. But no, white people are always like, ooh, can you speak Japanese? Have you been to Japan? And I'm just like, nah, I was born in Virginia. Oh, that's so sad. You should learn your culture. It's beautiful. I'm like, what? White people, can you speak Czech, Slovak, German, Italian, wherever your grandparents are from? No? Oh, then shut the hell up. All right, thank you. Go learn your thing. Make me a pierogi or something, all right? Hey, if Japan's so pretty, why'd you blow it up then, huh? How about that? It was a war. I know. Calm down, white people. My white side is telling me. I know. I feel you. Some people are like... Listen, I can tell that joke because my grandfather was actually in World War II. The white one, okay? All right, I'm half Japanese. People are like, which side, man? No, it's true. My white grandfather, he was in the Navy. And he returned home safely after killing my other grandfather. So thank you very much. That part's not true. Racist people clapping. Good job. He was in the Navy. He just didn't kill my other grandfather. I would have never been born, obviously, right? Grandpa kills the babies never... You get it, right? Asian people don't like that joke. Not because it's like offensive. They just do the calculations too quick. Oh, not possible. Oh, no. That's not even a good Asian accent, see? I'm part you white people. Accept me. Oh, man. Yeah, so I grew up on the East Coast. I grew up with my white side of the family mostly, you know, in Virginia, outside Washington, D.C. Then I moved to California, and there's way more Asians. And I was like, whoa, I need to learn more about my Asian side, try to, you know, fit in with this Asian community. So I went to Japan about 3 years ago, and it was really cool. I learned some stuff. I figured out why they're so smart. You ever wonder that? You ever wonder why Asians are so smart? You know why? They're good listeners. No matter what you say, they're always very focused. That's why if you ever hear them in conversation, it always sounds like this. Ooh. Like they're discovering things all the time. It's nice. It makes you feel good. You're like, I'm saying some real stuff. You see that? I blew his mind. They make that sound a lot. I know it sounds like a stereotype. It's true. But I think the real reason why they make that sound is because the grammar in Japanese, it's all scrambled up compared to English. So the verb is always at the end of a sentence. So you gotta listen to everything just to know what someone's saying. Can you imagine that? Like, what if I said to you guys, hey, yesterday I, at the store, many hats stole. You'd be like, oh. I didn't see that one coming. You were good. It's like a little mystery in Japanese. Surprises at the end of every sentence. Ooh, got me again, this guy. I like how most of you got that and some of you are just sitting there going, oh. I forgot what a verb was, didn't want to say. Oh, man. So I'm 36 years old. A lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people think I look young for my age. It's weird, though. People think it's a good thing to look young. It's embarrassing, man. Weird stuff happens to me all the time. Like one time, I was 28. I got carted on an airplane. But I wasn't trying to buy a drink. I was sitting in the emergency exit row. Okay? You know how embarrassing it is? The lady comes over, makes a little speech. Excuse me, everyone. You're sitting in the emergency exit row. If you're willing to. Whoa, how old are you? Does anyone know how old you have to be to sit in the emergency exit row? 15. That's right. Thank you. Responsible passenger actually reads the pamphlet. 15. I'm sorry. Does no one see a problem with that? I was 28. 15? What? That means she's asking me because she thought there's a possibility I could have been 14, right? I don't have the body hair to prove that. Like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm half Asian. No arm hair. Happy trail maybe next year. And then it got worse. The plane lands, everyone's crowded around the gate. I get mistaken for a girl. A girl? Do you know how damaging is your manhood psychologically when you're fully grown? You're standing with all, this fully grown, by the way. Stand with all these people. This tall black dude comes up behind me, cups me in a little no-no zone, right? No, 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 not right there. Whispers in my ear, excuse me, baby girl. I'm like, whoa. I'm like, did that just really happen? I turn like this, he checks me out. He's like, oh, my fault, dog. My fault, dog, that's all you're gonna say? What about the 300 people just saw you do that?
Oh, man.
KT Tatara, ladies and gentlemen. Find out where to see KT live at kttatara.com. Tell him Laugh sent you. From Hyenas Comedy Club in Fort Worth, Texas. I got some stories from that joint. Here is the one and only Mr. Josh Johnson.
Hi, everybody. Cool. That's going great. I am, my name is Josh Johnson. I am from right here in Fort Worth, Texas. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, hometown hero. Pandering right off the bat. Young Hillary Clinton right here, just pandering. I've been doing stand-up for about 7 years, and my favorite part about this job is that I get to travel. Like, I love traveling, especially taking public transportation in a new city, you know what I mean? Because I like meeting strangers on public transportation, because every stranger has a story, right? And every story you hear goes towards the bigger picture of building your idea of what the human race is. I don't do that in Fort Worth, Texas anymore, because when I was 16 years old, I was kissed by a homeless man on the bus. I'll explain. I was at our beautiful downtown library being studious as always. I got pretty late into the evening, got on the bus back home, fall asleep on the bus, missed my stop by 2 stops. And the reason I'm aware that I missed my stop by 2 stops is because I was awakened by a homeless gentleman ever so gently. Just the softest, sweetest, most intimate kiss. Like the first time you hear a Brian McKnight song, it wasn't. Here's the thing, I get it. I should have woken up and freaked out, but the way it was, I didn't even wake up alarmed, you know what I mean? Like a normal person, when you get kissed by a vagabond, you go, ah! And then you run off the bus. But me, I just kind of. Oh, hello. And he goes, hey, man. You missed your stop. And I go, yeah? Is that what you want to talk about right now? Is that the... So I don't ride the bus here anymore. I love space. I love space so much. A couple of years ago, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but this company tried to put together a group of volunteers for a one-way trip to Mars to help try to colonize Mars, and they were taking like 5,000, 6,000 people. So I decided to throw my hat in the ring. Yeah, our technology isn't there, and I probably would have died on the way, but I'd die in space, and that's way cooler than getting shot in the Quiznos. So I signed up. All right, now, when I signed up, you could put this desired occupation, what you would want your job to be in space. And so I aimed low as shit, right? Like, I go sanitation engineer, space janitor, instantly rejected, didn't even get past the application process. And if you ever want to feel more useless to the human race and just advance into the future and into the stars, be told you're not good enough to be a space janitor. Thank you. Thank you. My dream's dead. I suffer from clinical depression. I've suffered from clinical depression since I was like super young, like 13 or so. And for the first time in my life, I'm on antidepressants. And antidepressants are dope. I don't know why my parents kept them away from me, all right? But I didn't know what to expect. I'm on Zoloft. I didn't know what to expect on Zoloft. I thought it got rid of the depressed feeling, and it gave me a more upbeat mood. But all it did was put this Krispy Kreme glaze over my depression. So I'm still as sad and suicidal as I always was, but now I'm so optimistic about it. I used to sit in my room when I was a sad little goth kid when I was 16. I was like, man, I'll probably kill myself when I turn 40 at some hotel in the middle of nowhere. Now on Zoloft, I'm all like, which hotel's it gonna be? There's Holiday Inns, there's Holiday Inn Expresses, the world is my oyster. And by the way, I know what I sound like. I'm not from any suburbs, I'm from Stop 6. I just sound like this, all right? Sometimes you just get Urkelitis, all right? And if any of you are familiar with Dunbar High School, you understand how rare it is to get a goth in Dunbar High School. And also, you realize how stupid it is to see a black goth in Texas, because you gotta commit to that crappy persona like a horrible character actor, even though eventually you figure out black on black, wearing black all the time, it's just gonna make you sadder. You commit to it. I don't watch basketball primarily, but basketball is a big part of my life because basketball is a part of my bucket list. Like, number one on my bucket list is I've always wanted to go to a Miami Heat game or an All-Star game just so I could feed power forward Chris Bosh out of the palm of my hand.
Not familiar with Chris Bosch? Very bird-like man, that Chris Bosch. Looks like a chocolate ostrich. You should check it out. I have this fantasy in my head of him like running a play down the court, right? And I'm just standing up on the sidelines with my hand out like that, and he just stops dead in his tracks. And he's like, what you got there? Oh, this? Just some honey bunches of oats? I'm never getting invited to that nigga's Christmas party. This is great. I love job interviews because in a job interview, you get thrown a ridiculous situation or scenario that's never going to happen a day at that job. Like a couple of years ago, I was applying for a job at Best Buy, and the lady who was doing my interview goes, all right, Josh, I'm going to throw you a scenario. I'm from the 1800s. Sell me a cell phone. And I go, I can do that. First of all, welcome to the future. You made it. Somehow in the 1800s, you made a time machine and you came here first. I guess that makes sense. Second of all, we're all free now. That's why I'm working here. I feel like I got to give you that little bit of information. Because if I came from where you came from, I saw me in khakis, I'd be a little freaked out. So there you go. Got the job, by the way. Sometimes you got to play that race card. It's the only way they're going to let you into Texas A&M. I'm a cat person. I like cats. Yeah, a lot of dudes, dog dudes. I don't like dogs. Because to me, a dog is like having a crappy high school, clingy, just a high school boyfriend. You remember how your boyfriends were in high school? I remember being a boyfriend in high school. It's like, oh, I love you. I love you so much. I love you so much. Where are you going? Are you going to work? When are you coming back? Oh my God, you were gone for so long. I love you. I crapped in the house. Let's play. Nobody has time for that. But cats are beautiful. Cats are like a girlfriend, but a girlfriend in a 6-year relationship, and you haven't proposed yet, and she knows you're not gonna propose, so she doesn't give a shit what you do with your day. You see her twice a day max, maybe when house comes on, and then she goes in the other room and cries for 8 hours. I was the cat in that metaphor. This is going swell, you guys. Being a goth kid, I thought I knew what sadness was when I was 14. I thought sadness was just wearing all black clothes and watching The Crow every day, twice a day, for a month straight, because that's who I was. But then I turned 22 and I got divorced. Yeah. And then sadness took on a new definition. Sadness became making a Campbell's chunky noodle soup for one on my gas stove while I rearranged rap lyrics to sing to my cat. I will explain. Cooking on a gas stove. Fun fact, nothing sadder than cooking on a gas stove. Know why? Because a gas stove is the only thing that'll hiss at you while you cook on it. It's like single. I'm like, I know, stove, shut up. Let's get through this soup. And my cat's sitting there, not making conversation, leaving the burden of this social interaction on me. So I look at him and I go, allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Stove. And he threw up all over my kitchen and went to sleep in my living room. And it was almost like having my ex-wife back. Thank you guys very much. I've been Josh Johnson. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
That was Josh Johnson from Hyenas Comedy Club in Fort Worth, Texas. Josh has a brand new comedy album. It's available on iTunes, and it's called Tabitha. That's actually a really good name if I ever end up getting a second cat. Jessica and Tabitha. I feel that. So go download Tabitha today on iTunes, and also follow Josh on Twitter, @JoshTheSandwich. Well, that's it, folks. This is the part where we yell cut on Laughs Uncut. Tell me what you thought about today's episode on Twitter, @LaughsTVShow and @ZoltanComedy. One of those two is my personal Twitter handle. I'm gonna let you figure out which one. I trust you. Thank you for listening to our very first episode. I've been your host, Zoltan Kassis, and I'll be back next week to introduce you to more great comedians from Laughs on Fox.